Welcome to the Meaningful Business Podcast with me, Jo Casey, the place for coaches, healers, consultants, and other service-based folks so you can learn how to build a sustainable, meaningful business without having to resort to the dark arts or sleazy marketing techniques. Hi, it's Jo Casey. Welcome to the Meaningful Business Podcast. It's been a while since I've done a solo episode, so I thought we would rectify that. I want to talk today about perfectionism, because it's something that has been coming up repeatedly for me in my life, and that I see happen a lot with my clients, some of my colleagues. I know it's not something that affects everybody, but if it is something that affects you, hopefully you will find this at least enlightening and fortifying to know that you're not alone with it. Tanya Geisler talks about the imposter complex so beautifully. And one of the things that she identified and kind of highlighted for me is that for some of us, the imposter complex shows up in a way that is around perfectionism and procrastination. So this idea that nothing's ever good enough, we have to kind of keep it to a level where it's perfect. And if it's not perfect, then it's never going to be good enough. And because you can't ever achieve perfect, then it's never going to be good enough. And so you end up in almost like this loop of, well, I'll go and do a bit more to it, or I'll rewrite it, or I will totally redo it and burn it down and start again, or I'll just keep tinkering with it to see if I can just improve it until it's good enough to be out there. And of course, it never will be, because you can't ever achieve perfection. And so it can keep us hidden. It can keep us small. It can keep us from putting our stuff out into the world, because we're so tied to this kind of toxic idea of it's not good enough unless it's perfect. It's like this really nasty double bind that we can give to ourselves. And I can remember the very first time somebody said to me, "You're a perfectionist." It was a therapist that I had when I was about kind of 20, 21, my very first therapist that I saw. I'd had my second major bout of depression by that point. I had become very well acquainted with the anxiety kind of monster that would keep appearing in my life periodically. And I was at university. I was working myself into the ground and feeling like a piece of crap all the time. Feeling like nothing was good enough. I was doing well in my classes. I was doing joint honours, which is, you know, a bit, if you're in the UK, it's a bit trickier. There's more work involved than if you're doing single honours. I was working my way through uni. I had worked right the way from when I was 15. I'd had this very odd experience of being on a TV show when I was from the age of 15 to 18, and had managed to do all of that and keep up with my schoolwork. And, you know, I was already well into the habit of pushing and pushing and pushing myself and never giving myself a break and never feeling like anything was good enough. And so I ended up in this therapist's office, and I remember her saying to me, the thing about being a perfectionist, and I interrupted her because I laughed and I said, but I'm not a perfectionist. Nothing I do is perfect. Because in my head, being a perfectionist was a good thing. It was a good thing because it meant that you had really high standards and everything you did was brilliant. And I could never be that because everything I did in my mind was crap. And she, you know, disavowed me of that belief. But I think there was a grain of truth in it, in that people with perfectionistic tendencies do have very high standards for themselves, impossibly high standards. And we're never happy with what we do unless we put some serious work in it. And this can show up in a number of ways in a business. So I'll talk about how I see it show up for me, and how I see it show up for some of my clients. And I'll give you some examples of some of the things that I did and just some of the ways that I've learned to work with it, because it's never one of those things that is one and done. You know, I love how the personal development industry has this idea that, you know, you heal the things and then it never comes back. If only. I spent the past kind of 17 years in, you know, full time pretty much healing and personal development. And this stuff still comes up. You just come at it from a different angle. It's like a spiral. You go around and you think, oh, it's this again. It's this old pattern again. I thought I'd dealt with this and it will come up. So it's not about healing it and eradicating it completely, because I don't believe that ever fully happens. I think with these patterns, it's an evolution. It's a how do I work with it? How do I improve the speed in which I pick it up and realize, oh, I'm doing that thing again? And then what strategies can I employ to get around that? I recently, and like really recently, like in the past few days, had one of those, oh, this again moments, in fact. So I'm putting together a project which ironically has this idea of how we kind of collectively beat perfectionism kind of at its core. It's going to be called The Messy Meaningful Business. And it's a collection of writings, maybe some audios and some videos from 30 different amazing women entrepreneurs who have all done things a little bit differently in terms of not following that really strict, perfect, shiny, very bro marketing, very kind of masculine kind of type of marketing. That what I want to do is collect together almost beacons of hope of people who have done things differently. And my own perfectionism kicked in and really grabbed me as I was in the process of it. In fact, I just want to play you something that I recorded while I was out on a walk last week. Just beware that the quality isn't that great, because I recorded it on a very windy day on my phone. I'm out on my daily walk because I just had to walk away from the kind of document proposal thing that I've been putting together for this project. And I've been working on it, pretty much every day for over a week now. I mean, obviously not all day every day, but doing some of it every day. And I just can't see the wood for the trees anymore. I can't get it right. And I kind of have this vague idea of what I want or what right would be, but it's like trying to hold sand in my hand. It's just running through my fingers. And so every day I feel like I'm wrestling with this thing. I don't know. So I've walked away from it. And I keep telling myself that done is better than perfect. And I need to go out there. I need to start inviting people. But I keep thinking, well, if I send this thing out, which right now just feels like it's a piece of crap, then what will people think of me? And they'll think I am really unprofessional and not somebody that they would want to collaborate with. And so I go back to the document and I try and add more things to it and take more things away. And it's just painful. I'm getting on my own nerves with it now. So I come out for a walk in the hope of just walking away from it. So that was where I was at last week with things, because I had just been wrestling with this thing, not able to reach a point with it where I felt, yes, that's good. That's good enough to go out and to send to people. So give you a bit of context. One of the places that I find my perfectionism shows up a lot is when I am making an ask. So if I'm doing stuff behind the computer, if I'm with, you know, my clients, or if I'm, you know, with one of my group programs, then I'm fine. I feel very kind of rooted and comfortable in my abilities. Where it really kind of kicks in is when I'm launching something or putting an offer out there. Or in this case, when there's no payment being asked, what I'm doing is I'm putting together a list of these 30 women, you know, who, some of whom I know, some of whom I don't know. And I want to kind of explain what this project is, what the ethos behind it is. And I basically want to, in my mind, convince them that I am worthy of their time to be part of it. That's the kind of mentality that's going on there. And I see this happen time and time again when it comes to putting offers out for people, putting, you know, saying, I have spaces available to work with me. Or when you're putting together your first website or your sales pages and things like that, the perfectionism kicks in and you're not necessarily thinking, oh, this isn't good enough. What are people going to think of me? I have to make this really super duper impressive. Sometimes you are, but for a lot of the time, it's almost unconsciously going on. But you'll find that the thing that you can see somebody else has maybe put their website together in a weekend and you're 3 months in and you're still tinkering around with yours. True story, happened to me. Or you see people putting out offer after offer and be seemingly really comfortable with marketing and promoting themselves. And yet you're, you know, third day in of these 12-hour stints on Canva trying to get the perfect image and the perfect wording for putting your offer out there, when actually all it needs to say is, I have spaces available or coming soon. Or, you know, it we can make this so much more complicated for ourselves. It's a really good way of keeping us out of action, because the reality is that nothing, not only does it not need to be perfect, not only will you never achieve perfection, but actually to make it quote unquote successful, it will usually take you a few iterations of things. And if you never even get to the first iteration, then that's never going to happen. So that thing that you're wanting, that thing that you're trying to put all of this effort in to make happen, as in, I need to be good enough so that people will want my stuff and want to work with me, and therefore I can make a living out of this thing that I love, whether it be coaching or healing or, you know, whatever it may be, is actually the thing that holds you back, because it stops you getting the stuff out there. It stops you getting the feedback on it. And it's vulnerable to put the stuff out there and for it not to be perfect. Thing is, even if it was quote unquote perfect in one person's eyes, it would never be in your eyes anyway. So it's like this crazy making mental game that we play with ourselves. So what I did with my list, my people I wanted to invite, this document I was wanting to put together, this kind of proposal, this thing that I wanted to send to people and kind of say, here is my project, do you want to be part of it? I outed myself. I went to my mastermind group and I outed myself and I said, look, I've fallen into the perfectionism pattern. I can't seem to make this right. I can't see the wood for the trees with it anymore. Help. And a couple of colleagues who were brilliant gave me some feedback on it and asked me some really smart questions like, what do you want it to say? What's the, you know, at the heart of it, what's the thing that you're wanting to put out there? They gave me some positive feedback. They gave me some really kind of constructive feedback as well about where I could kind of just tweak it and change things up. And then on Saturday, I started sending the invites out. So far, fingers crossed, I have sent out 9 invites and 8 people have got back to me to say that they're all in. One person's come back with a question about it, just wants some more information. So far, it's going pretty well. But I could have really easily spent the next 3 weeks faffing around with this and then either miss my own deadline for it or just got to the point of going, well, it's never going to work anyway, because I'm just spinning around and around with it in my head. So one of the things around perfectionism that I found is that it's in the eye of the beholder, but also there is just sometimes a... So sometimes you do need some feedback just to get a bit of a sanity check on things, if you can even hear what people are saying, because we're also very good at dismissing the kind of, oh, but they're just being nice, or, you know. But the other thing is to actually get some accountability and some community support and kind of go, no, it's good enough, get it out. And there is a certain kind of muscle strengthening thing that goes on with putting the stuff out, even though you know it's not quote unquote perfect. Because actually, the fear is I'm going to put it out and I will be found lacking. It will be found lacking, therefore I will be found lacking. And that's really vulnerable. But do you know what? You're an adult and you can handle it. And that's the thing that I've learned over the years. I can handle, actually, if somebody says, I don't really like that, that's not for me. It hurts, don't get me wrong, but it's never as bad as the thought of, I will never be able to do this work, I will never be able to earn enough to pay my mortgage through this work that I love, because I've got so caught up in wanting this to be impossibly perfect. I want to share another story. This is a similar thing that I did last year with a similar project. And I'm sharing these stories because I want to be transparent, but I want to kind of share my process and what has worked for me, in the hope that it will help to kind of help you to work with your perfectionism as well. So last year, as if you've been listening to the podcast, you'll know that last year was not a great year for me personally or professionally. I had set up my business in a way that demanded a lot of hours from me. I wasn't charging nearly enough, which meant that I was having to work a lot of hours to kind of bring in just enough money. And so there wasn't a lot of time built in so that I could, you know, do the basics like self-care. But honestly, even if there had been, I'd have filled that time with nonsense anyway, because I was on a real kind of push kind of mentality, which is really unhealthy. And again, is another pattern of mine, which I aim to work with, but sometimes does come and bite me in the bum. And so I'd set up my business doing lots and lots of one-on-one calls. I had, you know, full quota of one-on-one clients, which I know you may be thinking this and kind of going, well, that sounds like a great problem to have if you're in the earlier stages. But it was actually really burning me out and exhausting me. And then my daughter got sick. She got quite a severe bout of acute asthma. And it took several months to get under control. And that meant several months of emergency trips to the hospital, me having to pick her up from school several times a week to take her up to the hospital, a stay in hospital. It was incredibly stressful. It was really traumatic for everyone involved. It took months for it to become under control. It was scary. It was awful. We didn't get a lot of sleep in those kind of 3 or 4 months that it was really kind of going on. And then once she got physically stable, I fell apart, because I had developed tolerance to the antidepressant medication that I'd been on for about 10 years, which I didn't know was a thing, but that apparently is a thing. So it wasn't working effectively. I'd had 3 or 4 incredibly stressful months, not a lot of sleep. I was spending a lot of time having to rearrange client calls and things like that, which felt really shitty to have to do. It was, you know, awful. My clients were amazingly understanding and supportive, but it, you know, I really felt like I was letting everybody down. Plus, I didn't have the space or the time to launch my next program, because I was, you know, up and down at hospitals and things like that. And so the kind of next bit of income that was going to come in and be able to pay the bills wasn't kind of lined up. I was doing very little marketing. So I decided that I would launch a membership site. It'd been something that had been suggested to me for a while. And I knew I had lots of resources. I knew I wanted to provide something for people that didn't require a big financial investment, because while it's all well and good to be able to afford, you know, £3,500 to work with a coach for 6 months, not everybody has that. I didn't have that for a number of years. It's only been in the last year or so I've been able to, you know, swing that. So I wanted to put something together for those folks who couldn't afford it. I knew I had lots of stuff that I could provide for them, lots of value. So I decided to put together a membership site. It also meant that I wouldn't need to be there at a certain time, other than kind of twice a month when we do kind of group coaching. It meant that I could be designing courses and pulling things together at 2 a.m. if I needed to. So that's what I did at 2 a.m. Again, like I said, not getting a lot of sleep, not thinking very, very straight. And I launched the Meaningful Biz Academy, Meaningful Business Academy, as it was called. And I sent out one email about it. And I think 5-6 people signed up. And then I sent another email and a couple more people signed up. And then that was it. And I did precious little marketing on it after that. And people, you know, some people kind of found it almost accidentally, people who were already in my circle found it, but I did so little marketing because it felt like it was imperfect. It hadn't quote unquote worked. It hadn't lived up to the vision that I wanted it to. I wanted it to be perfect. I wanted it to be the best thing on the internet. And I had pulled it together. And, you know, I put all of these really useful resources in there, but there was something about it that just wasn't quite working. Some of the feedback that we got from people was that they found it a bit confusing to navigate. The content wasn't organized in a way that made it feel intuitive. And I was kind of overwhelmed with everything. I needed to take quite a few months more or less out of my business just to kind of recover. And so the Meaningful Business Academy, or the MBAs as we call it, it kind of ticked along in the background, but again, 20, 30 people in there, but I did very little with it and kind of thought, that is a big, you know, it doesn't feel great. It's not perfect. Fast forward 12 months and I have spent a long time recovering and healing and looking really closely at some of the patterns that had led me to the kind of little mini breakdown that I had. One of which was this kind of push. One of which was the working till 2 a.m. to get things finished, undercharging. So, you know, I increased my prices, my group programs, and just building in way more sustainability into my business and also looking at what are the patterns that kind of led to this. And I know I am far from the first person who has gone through this kind of thing. So what is it particularly about our culture and the messages that we have, especially within the personal development kind of world and the online world, that kind of leads us to these kind of, you know, not that great, not that healthy behaviors when it comes to how we run our businesses around, you know, hustle and pushing and all of that stuff. And within there was the Meaningful Business Academy. And so the past few months I've been back and I've relooked at it and I really kind of fell back in love with it. And there's some great stuff in there, but the feedback was right. It was all a bit confusing. It wasn't that easy to navigate. So one of the first things that I did is I put a new structure in there and kind of organized all of the content that was in there already around the roadmap that I developed. You know, I've talked about this roadmap to a sustainable, profitable business, which is based around these kind of 7 key points, these 7 key things that I feel like you really need to understand and have in place in order to get that level of sustainability. Things like, you know, having a really clear message, really knowing who you are and owning your magic, being able to have packages and programs that are going to be structured well so and priced properly so that they're going to be bringing in enough income for you, to be able to have an aligned marketing plan that isn't going to suck all your energy out, that you're able to grow a community it's ethically sound. You know, all of these things, which are the areas that I work with my clients one-on-one with, how, you know, the kind of puzzle for me was, well, how can I present this in a way that is going to make a lot of sense for people, even when you don't have that one-on-one input all the time? And so all of the content was organized around that. I added some new content to it and it's lovely and I love it. And it's not perfect, but it's never going to be perfect. But compared to how it was kind of almost 12 months ago when it first launched, it's so much better. The feedback we're getting from the membership is just brilliant. People are loving it. I'm really excited to be sharing this with people. But it would have been very easy to have let my perfectionism kick in and kind of go, oh, well, that didn't work, did it? That wasn't how you wanted it to be. That was a great big failure then, wasn't it? And it wasn't. It didn't work the way I had wanted it to in the first place. But if I'd not launched it, I wouldn't have got the feedback from people. I wouldn't have had that experience of getting to work with people in the, you know, that we do monthly group coaching in the MBA. And monthly co-working. I wouldn't have had the chance to get to know all of those people who are members and be able to serve them, find out what it is that they really want so I can improve things. It's been a great learning experience. And that's the thing around perfectionism. It can stop you from having those learning experiences, those necessary ways that we need to continuously improve and develop and learn. One of the things I say to my daughter so often, and she's someone who's so hard on herself, I can see so much of me in her, is that you have to allow yourself to learn. And when we get stuck in perfectionism, we're not allowing ourselves to learn. We're not allowing ourselves to mess up, to make mistakes, because we're not even allowing ourselves to take the first step out there. And so that's one of the core things that I go back to and I remember when I get stuck in this mode of, oh, I found that I've spent, you know, three times as long working with this blog post or with this program putting together than it really should be taking me. Have I fallen into procrastination? Am I stuck in that perfectionism loop? And I will say one of the things that my coach is Tanya Geisler. And one of the things that she said to me was when I was working with this project last year that I was doing a summit. And again, I was really scared to reach out to people to invite them to be part of it. And she said, "You're Joe F and Casey. Send the emails. Of course they're going to say yes." So I want to say to you, you are, insert your name here. Fucking insert your name here. Send the emails, put the thing out, share the stuff, share your goodness. Remember, you do not need to be perfect. Your standards are probably way higher for yourself than they would be for anybody else. And getting caught into that, it needs to be perfect, what will people think of me loop. I'll just go back and I'll just redo this bit, or I'll just tinker with that, or let me just redesign that sales page, or I should really do my logo again. All of that is just kind of kicking the can down the road. It's just putting off the inevitable, that fear of, if I put this out and people don't like it, what will that mean? And the thing is, it will mean whatever you make it mean. And I know that is stating the obvious maybe, but it will just mean that some people like it, some people don't. That's okay. Just like, you know, some people think pomegranate seeds are the best thing ever. Some people, like my husband, think they are food of the devil. And it doesn't have any reflection on you and who you are as a person, as a practitioner, as a human being, whether people like the thing that you put out or not. It doesn't. It just means they don't like the thing. Maybe it's just not their cup of tea. Maybe it needs a bit of tweaking. Maybe it's useful feedback. It gives you an opportunity to make changes, to learn and to grow. But not putting the stuff out denies you of that, denies you all of the good stuff as well. The chance to connect with people, the chance to launch your programs, the chance to host the summit, do the interview, get the guest posts in place that you're wanting it to, whatever it is that you desire. The more time you spend perfecting the stuff, the further away from actually getting the thing that you're wanting, that perfect thing to get you. If that makes sense. That sounds like slightly garbled English, but that's the truth. Get some feedback. find some fellow travellers and some people who will be honest and loving and kind with you and say, I think this is good enough, or just tweak that bit and then it'll be great. Or pray it out and see what people think. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Because actually the worst thing that's going to happen is you don't pray it out. And that means that people can't find you. And that means you can't achieve the things that you're wanting to achieve. And they won't get to work with you and to experience all the goodness and the joy that is possible for them if they were able to do that. And everyone loses in that case. Everyone. That's it for today. That's my little kind of ranty missive on perfectionism. I hope you found this helpful and I'll speak to you soon. Oh, and you can check out the newly revamped. Nearly forgot the newly revamped Meaningful Biz Academy. I've decided to kind of, I quite like the thing Meaningful Biz Academy. You can check out the newly revamped, given a super coat of paint with a little video from me on the front page at meaningfulbizacademy.com. It's not perfect, but I think it's really, really good and I'm really proud of it. And if you're looking for some of that targeted support with some fellow travellers, with some the option to get some hands-on eyes on your biz and to kind of get to work with me in a group coaching setting, then check it out, meaningfulbizacademy.com. I'll speak to you soon. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Meaningful Business Podcast with me, Jo Casey. If you want to know more about how you can grow your meaningful business, then head over to meaningfulbizacademy.com. That's meaningfulbizacademy.com. Here you'll find all of the details of the academy, including masterclasses, courses, co-working opportunities, member discounts, how you can get free coaching, exclusive meditations to help build your confidence and bust through those mindset blocks, and a whole lot more. That's meaningfulbizacademy.com, and I'll speak to you soon.